chapter are we in? Is it chapter 5? Chapter
5.
Chapter 5 in the discipleship journey curriculum. So last week we had a beautiful message. Can you, is this working? Can you hear me back there?
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had a beautiful message from Elizabeth Law, who came and spoke while she was sick, and God bless her, and she's got a lot of snowy weather out in the plane today, so she is not here but sends her love. But she talked to us a little bit about how it says in John 10 that Jesus is the good shepherd, and his sheep hear their voice, and they follow him, and she gave us some great tips on how to hear him. And her podcast will be, it's probably already on the website, right? Yeah, so her podcast is under Georgetown Talks on our website, which is gtownwomensbiblestudy.com. So she said, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. She said, we have to learn how to be quiet. We have to commit our day to the Lord. And she prays a prayer when she gets up. She says, Lord, I commit my day and my ways to your will and your way. And so that's a good thing to do. We have to set aside time to be with him. So if you're always on the run constantly, you certainly can hear from him on the go. But you hear more clearly when you sit down and listen. She said that you have to learn how to settle down. That is an issue for me, for somebody who has ADHD. So I'm like the chattering monkeys, as Melissa calls them, in my brain. I have to go, shh, you know. But I literally ask the Lord to stop the chattering monkeys of my brain. So that I can hear him. So I think that's a good thing. Take a Sabbath, she said. I'm a really big advocate of a Sabbath. As somebody who is a little ADHD and extremely high energy, I tend to find that I go better on his fuel than my own fuel. And so when I'm going 7 days on my own fuel, that doesn't really work. But if I go and I take a day of rest, he fills me up and he re-energizes me. And that's what really
what
drives
are your
me.
Three Sabbath things?
I have three criteria for a Sabbath, for a good Sabbath day, and these are what they are. Is it fun? Does it give me rest? Or does it draw my affections to Christ? And so my Sabbath always, I take my day off is on Fridays, and so I spend a lot of time in bed. I nap. I read the Word a lot. I do really fun things. I go to the movie. I get my nails done. I mean, any of those criteria, but you have to slow it down and just, like, you can't be all about work all the time. Or ministry, for that matter, because a lot of us, our day jobs are really ministry. And, you know, we're not maybe working in an office, but we're out at Bible studies all over the place. And so you just have to rest. Be at peace, Elizabeth said. Practice confession sometimes if you're not hearing from God, that maybe there's something in your life that's sort of a barrier between you and him, and you might have some sin that you want to confess. And then when he releases you from a subject, be released and moved on. So that's what Elizabeth told us last week in a nutshell. She said much more profound things than that. But Dave has this lesson stretched out over several weeks, because I think the topic of hearing from God sometimes intimidates people. And a lot of people will say things like, well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord said that to me. And people might think, well, where was he when he told you that? Was he, like, in your kitchen or whatever? And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how he does speak to us and how we can hear him. And so we've been looking at that issue and trusting that God really does want to speak to us. And we've gone through a little journey of Acts, and we've talked about some of the disciples and how they heard from God. And there's stories in the Bible of Moses and Abraham and David. The whole scripture shows from the very beginning to the very end how God has been speaking and is always speaking. And so we talked over, if you weren't here in this lesson early on in the chapter, it talked about what the conditions of our heart should be in order to hear. You can't have a hard, rocky heart and hope that the seed of God, the word, is going to sprout in your heart. So you want to have the soil of your heart tilled and soft so that what the Lord plants in there will grow. And then some of us have wondered, how do we even know if it is God? And I think that's a really good question. God wants to affirm that he's speaking to us. And so, for those of you who have children, how many of your children have come to you for verification before? Like, you know, one parent will say something and the kid will run to the other parent and they'll say, Daddy said I could say it like, you know. And so everybody in the house is on verification mode. Trust but verify. And the other child will say, well, Mom said that I could have this lollipop. And Dad's like, doesn't like sweets, but she's like the reverse. But anyway, it's just like Dad said I could have this lollipop and Mom said no way. So we, even in the natural, we verify what we hear. And so even The Bible tells the story of Gideon putting out his fleece. Lord, did you really say this was you? And so we talked about that story. So I think that it's really important to stop and think about who we are exactly hearing from. And so a lot of people, I think, you know, as you're growing in maturity in your faith, you come to learn that you're hearing from a person. You're not hearing from a philosophy or a religion. You're having an encounter with a person, and that person is God. And so as you grow, you begin to be in a relationship with him. So maybe you get on that journey, and you start it, and you think, this is really great. I want to be with these people, and I want whatever they're drinking. And but you start to learn that he communicates with you, and that he is a person, and that he is your father. So I just want to take for a minute to talk about who is this person that is speaking to us. And so I've been meditating the last couple of weeks on the fact that God is our creator God. And for me, there's no, like, what is the word I'm looking for, Betsy? Between science and religion. There's no science in God. There's no
conflict.
There's no conflict. Thank you. I have Swiss cheese brain. There's not a conflict for me. I don't care how God made the world. I don't care how he made the universe. I don't care if it was through a Big Bang or through this or through that. I just know he made it because I believe there's an intelligent designer, and you can't look at the things that he made and not be in awe of them. And so I've been thinking all week long about how he holds the universe in his hands. And how there's billions of stars, and they stay where they're supposed to be, except for the ones that he shows off with, shooting stars, you know. The sun stays in the middle of the universe. It doesn't fall, it doesn't move, it doesn't get off kilter. It stays in the center. The moon does its little dance around the earth. And he created the waters of the ocean, and if you think about our world that's round, I'm always marveling that it doesn't fall off the bottom. Because that's just me. I'm really simple. I just didn't go like that. And so, you know, he's the God of gravity. The oceans stay where they're supposed to. They don't daily overtake the land. I mean, even when they come in on the beach, they don't overtake the beach every day. He tells the stars where to be. He positions the sun. He instructs the waters. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies his great power. Night after night they pour forth speech. So God is always creating. He's always talking to us, and creation testifies that he is magnificent. He's also the lover of our souls. Psalm 35 says, his love reaches to the heavens. It says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, and your justice is like the ocean's tide. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that. This is our God. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your justice is like the ocean's tide. This is our God. So when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? The thing that Jesus said to them was this. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So that was sort of revolutionary. People didn't really talk about God being their father. And so not only is he this magnificent creator, and he holds all the universe in place, he's our father, and he's in heaven. And so Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. So like Holly Leachman says, the gospel is such good news. It's just good news that we have a creator king who loves us, and he's our father. And so on top of that, Romans 8 tells us that he gives us a spirit of adoption by which we can cry, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father, in the literal translation, would be something like Daddy God. And so it's that intimate when he releases over us a spirit to adopt us. John tells us that to those who, in chapter 1, if you want to read this later, John chapter 1 says, to those who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. And so we get adopted into his family. I mean, that's just good news. It's so important that we get how great that our God is and how much he loves us. Do you know that in Psalm 139 it says that his thoughts for us outnumber the sand on the seashore? Mm. How many thoughts does one person need? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I could live off just two or three, you know, if I thought the Creator King was thinking about me. That's amazing. But if I were to try to count them, I wouldn't be able to. And he really does have that many thoughts for you and you and you and you and me and you. He's unlimited. He's vast. He's great. He's lavish. So I submit to you that this amazing God, whose thoughts for you are so vast, you'd need an eternity to discover them. I think eternity starts now. He wants to speak to you. So he's a good father, and a good father wants to spend time with his children. So one day I was driving my car and pulled up to the house when the children were really young, and I've told you this story before, but it speaks to me still. So I pull up to the front of the house on 35th Street in the middle of traffic, and both the kids just get out of the car, you know, and leave the doors open and run up to the house. And I'm just like, really, God, are you kidding me? And I said, God, what is up with these kids? You know, by the way, if you're not praying for your kids, who do you think is? Mm-hmm. Pray for your kids. Anyway, I said, God, OMG, they think I'm just there. And he goes, I know. And they just want me to make everything, make it all happen all the time. And he said, I know. Mm-hmm. And I said, they only come to me and constantly tell me what they want, what they need, and where they need to go. And he said, I know. So, did you get that? God is just like a parent, you know. He feels the way we do sometimes, because we show up when we have a need or a crisis, or we want something, or we want a better vacation, or we need, you know, help with this or help with that, or crazy aunt in the basement's driving us crazy. What would it be like if we acted like children all the time and only came to him when we needed something? Do you think that would be fun for him? That's not fun for him. He's not like a giant, like a slot machine in the sky who, when we come up and we say we need this and this, he just gives it. He does give it because he's good. And we do the same thing with our children, right? When they need something, even if they're being totally bratty and they haven't talked to us all week, they need food, they need this, they need that, we give it to them because we love them. And how much more does he love us? And so eventually children learn that their parents want to spend time with them, and they grow to like being with their parents. And I love that quote from Mark Twain where he says, you know, when I was 15, I thought my dad was the dumbest person on the planet, and when I was 20, I was surprised to see he learned. And by the time I was 25, I thought, how he got so wise. That's a bad paraphrase. But anyway. I think as we're growing, and I think we see that God is our Father. He is a parent, and he does want to talk to us. So when we do these talks, people invariably say to us, well, I don't hear God the way you do. I just don't believe it. And I'm going to talk to you about it because I think you do hear him. I submit this to you, and I'm not saying this to condemn anyone, so don't hear that from me. I want to encourage you. Metaphorically, do you run out to the car without a care or a thank you? Do you come to him only when you need something? Are you growing up? Are you working on your relationship with him so you can be in community with him? We've talked before about how sometimes when we come into a relationship with Jesus, he becomes our family, you know, but sometimes we can stop just at being related, but not be in relationship. And so Jesus is not like our distant cousin. I have a distant cousin. He lives in Georgia. His name is John. I see him once a year. We pick up exactly where we left off. We're related, but we are not in a relationship. We never talk apart from the one day a year we see each other. And so that's not really a relationship. So if you're not talking to God, you're not going to hear from him. So start talking and start listening. So, yeah. So as a preface to hearing him, I want you to consider basically who he is. Magnificent creator, compassionate king with a kingdom, lover of your soul, shepherd who watches over his sheep, and he calls them by name. So that's a starting place for our hearing. The second thing I want to talk to you about is that we all hear from him differently. That's okay. When I tell both of my children the exact same thing and I ask them to repeat it back to me, it comes back differently. I mean, it comes back, you know, fairly close, but there's always a different twist. And even that happens in the Gospels. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all giving their exact accounts of what they saw and what they heard, and they all walked with Jesus the same number of days, but they're ever so slightly reported differently. And so we all hear differently, and that's okay. And so when you hear people talk about, well, I heard God say this, or I heard God say that, and you think, I never heard God say anything like that, it's okay, because you're hearing from God, you're just hearing differently. And so Melissa used to say, compare and despair, so don't despair. God is talking to you. So we're going to do two little exercises. We're going to do them right now just to illustrate this point. The first one is an exercise that Betsy gave to us at leaders meeting this week, and the other one's called, it's an ancient practice called Lectio Divina, which means divine hearing. And so here's the first one. Did everybody have something to write on? Or if you don't have anything to write on, you can make a mental list, but if you have a piece of paper, get it out. I need a Bible. Does somebody have a Bible? Thank you. Am I going to be able to read that? Okay, so I'm not here. Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to say a word out loud, and then we want you to write down everything you hear about it. Just start writing what comes into your mind. Don't try to process it. Don't make up a story. Don't whatever, unless God gives you a story. But we're just going to say one word, and I want you to write down what comes to your mind. This is so huge. I just want you to hear it. So the word is tree. Okay, tree. A tree. Just write down what you hear. Okay, so let's start in the side of the room. What did anybody want to go and tell us what they got?
Very well.
Okay.
Leaf, bark, stump, tall, beautiful, oak, acorn, up to the sky, green, buds.
You got a lot. Anybody ever hear what you get?
The other side of the brain.
Okay.
I have living, breathing, family, life.
Excellent. Anybody ever here? Karen?
I am the vine, you are the branches, and then I saw green leaves and roots and shade from the sun. Then I saw the texture of the bark.
Awesome. Cool. Anybody back there?
Here.
Yeah.
I have vine, brown, love it, flowers, want it, living, oak, Florida must have, tall and firm.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, both sides.
I love it. So do you see that there's like different sides of brains, and some people report the actual thing, and then some people get pictures, and it comes to life, and you know, it's living, it's active, it's divine. A couple of people got scriptures that were exactly the same. So we're all hearing, right? And we our brains work in different ways, and that's okay. So the next one I want to do with you is called Lectio Divina, and that word means divine reading. And then the Gospel of John, the word tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Skipping down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love it that Jesus was full of grace and truth. He wasn't grace or truth. He was both. And that's so great because truth without grace is harsh, and grace without truth is wishy-washy. So I love that Jesus is both. Anyway, I love the concept that he is the Word, and the Word came down and dwelled with us, and that's incredible. I mean, what kind of king leaves their throne, right? He left his throne, and he came to us. So anyway, if Jesus is the Word, then reading our Bibles is like reading Jesus, right? So it makes it important. So do you remember... what happened when Jesus went into, he was baptized, and then what happened afterwards? He went right out into, it actually says the wilderness, not the desert, and that's a distinction, I think, it, which is important. We can talk about all day, but I won't. I digress. Look, a squirrel. Look, a desert. Look, a wilderness. But anyway, the devil comes to him. Thank you, Betsy, for understanding.
I just always think that's funny.
So anyway, he goes out into the wilderness, and the devil comes immediately. The enemy of his soul comes to tempt him. And so Satan comes over to him, and he says, if you're the king of God, if you're the son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And what Jesus does immediately is he calls scripture from his mind and he says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so, you know, we have stones that get in our way, and we also need to live off the word of God. And that's the most important way we hear is through the scripture. And so we're going to practice hearing from the scripture in Isaiah. And so I'm going to read you something from Isaiah 55. And we're going to do what's called Lectio Divina, which is divine listening. And it's a practice where early church fathers used this practice. And so what they would do is they'd read the scripture two or three times, the exact same passage, and they would be listening for what God is saying every time the scripture is read to them. And so I just want you to do, just like we did with the tree, I'm going to read the scripture three times. And each time, you're probably going to hear it differently. And I want you to hear, ask God before I start speaking, what are you saying to me? And then I'm going to read it, and you're going to write it down. I'm going to read it three times, okay? So it's Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Here's the second one. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest affair. Oh, give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Okay, that's the second one. Okay, last time. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so who got some stuff? Betsy, you want to go? What'd you get?
I got that he would make an everlasting covenant with me, not Abraham, only Abraham or Jacob or David, but me.
Awesome.
So I want to go to him and find out what it is exactly.
Awesome.
You'll report back later, maybe.
Ginger, what'd you get?
Because he's my nourishment. He wants to fill me, and if I seek him, I will have that everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm. Good. Anybody else?
Got a strong. God's word gives life, and it's available to all. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he's talking about like everybody's home, not just, I mean,
yeah.
You do, but, you know, like,
yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Okay.
I got the strength of the invitation and the deep longing of our souls, and that there would be provision.
That's awesome. Anybody else want
to? Mm-hmm. I got you have to be thirsty for it, and you have to listen for it.
Yeah. Awesome. So do you see how that worked? Same word. And he spoke something different to every one of us. Virtually the same topic, in the same line of things, but we all heard it just a little differently. And so that's why I think it's so important to not compare and despair when somebody says, well, God told me this and God told me that. And God's never told you anything like that. So just start listening and he's going to speak to you. Anyway, Jesus says, I don't live by bread alone. I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of my Father. And so if he did that, we do that too. And that's so important. So so this week in the book, Dave is talking about the practicalities of listening. And he's asking us to think about how we filter what we're hearing when God speaks. So he uses a grid, which I'm going to give you now. And he says that as you begin to listen to God, like just doing just what we just did, reading the scripture, read it a couple of times, meditate on it, chew on it, listen to your friends, godly counsel, all the things that Elizabeth said last week, that you're going to gain in your confidence and how you hear. And so some of the ways that God speaks to me is that I get impressions, or I get a word, or I get a picture, or I get the scripture almost being like illuminated, like it's been pre-highlighted for me, you know, so like we go to our Bible with our highlighter, right? Sometimes a word will jump off the page, and it'll just be illuminated right to me, and I'll be like, I've read this 15 times. How did I never see this verse? And it's like, how many people have had that happen? Yeah, right? Okay, so it's like God is speaking to you in seasons. He's always speaking. So some seasons, when I read John 1, he's reminding me that he's the Word made flesh. And sometimes he's reminding me that he's grace and truth. And sometimes he's reminding me that he left his throne and he came to be with me. And so he's always speaking, and he speaks differently in different seasons. So let me give you a few examples of just bit to how I've heard a few things. So sometimes I've heard through scripture, right? Some really supernaturally and some just kind of randomly. And so several years ago, very long story short, I was having an issue, and Margie Quinn, who's in our Bible study, said, come over, I want to pray for you. And I said, okay. So I went over to pray, and we were praying about the thing, and she leans back and she says to me, I think you're deathly afraid of being raped. I was like, we're not talking about that. What are you talking about? And I was thinking, oh man, she's one of these, you know, this is crazy. And so, do we miss the subject that we were talking about? It's not rape. And so, she's like, no, really, I think that we should pray about that. So she starts praying about that. I'm like, well, have you ever been to somebody for prayer and they're like not talking about anything that you brought up? So Margie will let me say this story. And it was amazing. And I was like, that is so weird. So I was like, I was trying to go with it, but I was like, what is she talking about? So she prayed and prayed and prayed. And I'm walking home because she lives down the street from me, and or lived down the street from me. And I get home and I'm on the phone and I'm talking to my prayer partner, Elizabeth Law. And so I'm telling her about this crazy encounter I just had with Margie. And I'm walking up the stairs of my house, and I said to Elizabeth, and the last thing she said to me was, I think you're deathly afraid of being raped. And Elizabeth said, oh, that makes so much sense. And I'm like, you too? What is up with you? She goes, yes, you've been broken into in every house you've ever lived in. And I was like, I never thought about that. I've been broken into in every house I've ever lived in. And on top of that, I had a stalker at Price Waterhouse, and I had a peeping Tom when I was little. And, you know, when I was 16. And so she said, I think when you go out by yourself, you're afraid. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, yeah, you are. I think you are. I was like, what does this have to do with the fact that I need this thing, other thing taken care of? And so I go, and I'm thinking, God, what is up with these people? Like, can they just give somebody a straight answer? And so they're really getting to the heart of the issue, you know. So I was like, God, I need you to speak to me. And so I did what we advise you to never do, and I played Bible roulette. Thankfully, I didn't get to, you know, Jesus, Judas hung himself. But I opened the Bible, and it turned to somewhere in Isaiah, and I was kind of reading a passage, and I was like, well, that don't really do anything for me. And then I looked to the left page, left side of the page, and it said, I am Lord your God, never again will you fear harm. And I was like, oh my gosh. He doesn't want me to be afraid. I can go out at night. I can get in my car in a parking lot. Not everybody's going to follow me home. When I arrive, there's not going to be a peeping Tom coming out from the side of the house. I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. He is with me. He is watching me. And I just got totally released of that fear, like, right then. And so, isn't that kind of crazy? It's like, I went to my friends and I said, I have this issue. But they heard something else. They heard God telling them something else. And so, godly counsel does that. Godly counsel brings the issue that, you know, if you trust that the Lord speaks to your friends, sometimes he's going to speak something you don't understand. But it always comes back to scripture, doesn't it? And so if it aligns with the word of God, that's a beautiful thing. And so while the issue of being attacked really was sort of my fear, the truth of the matter is that God wanted to say to me that he is my Lord and never again would I fear harm. So that's one example. Sometimes he gives impressions. So I work for National Community Church now, and I was at our leadership retreat, and they invite all the leaders of our church to come up and get prayer from the staff during the retreat, during communion, during the retreat. And so 500 leaders, you know, they come forward, and we're all there, and we're praying for them. So the first five people I prayed for, God kept saying, they need to trust me. And I was like, really, Lord? I'm like looking for fresh revelation. And he's like, well, it's not like they all are hearing what you're praying for each person. And so I kept hearing this like over and over. And I was like, God, you got to give me something here to work with. And he said, I am. I'm telling you, they don't trust me. They need to trust me. And so I was like, really? And so it kind of felt like we were actually having one of these, oh, all right moments. And he gives me a picture. And so the fourth person that comes up and needs prayer, he showed me a picture of this person with like a magnet coming out of their stomach in the big shape of a U, like a big magnet. And as I was praying for them, I said, when you make the choice to trust the Lord, it's like a magnet that pulls grace down from heaven to your life. So choosing to trust attracts grace. And then I was kind of like, oh my gosh, he is speaking. This is awesome, you know. So it started with an impression, but it ended with a picture. So sometimes he speaks to you in pictures. So when you see, if you're talking to somebody, you're praying with somebody, you're reading your Bible, and you get a picture of something, even if it seems weird, like, wait for it, he will speak to you. And sometimes you'll see a picture and you'll say, Lord, I don't understand. Why are you showing me a picture of a magnet? What does that have to do with anything? But when you're, if you're listening and you're waiting, and a lot of times when we're praying for people, we're praying for ourselves, we say the prayer, but then we rush in, and we don't give them a chance to answer. We don't give them a chance to give a picture. And so I was even kind of like trying to speed up his revelation, you know. And I was like, God, can't you tell I'm here praying for people? Like, step it up. Another time, another time I was driving down Reservoir Road, and you've heard me tell the story 100 times, but the word Helen Haggerty popped into my head. And I was like, yep, Helen Haggerty. Okay, whatever. And so I was thinking, I wonder how Helen Haggerty is. And so then I drove a couple more blocks, and the word Helen Haggerty came strongly into my mind. And I was like, okay. So I got a little more a ways down the road, a Reservoir Road, and it was like, Helen Haggerty. And I was like, gee, I wonder how Helen Haggerty is. You know? But duh. I mean, I kind of like do this for a living, but it didn't occur to me like call Helen Haggerty and see if anything was going on. That night about 6:30, somebody called me and said, gee, did you hear what happened to Helen Haggerty today? And I was like, what? And they said, her husband's like dying of meningitis in the hospital. And I was like, what? You know, and it's like, anybody ever see Bruce Almighty? Have you seen that movie? It's so hilarious. He's like, God, I need a sign, you know. And I'm like, he couldn't have been more clear, like Helen Haggerty. But I'm like, you know, I need the full instruction. Call Helen Haggerty. Pray for Helen Haggerty. And so immediately, you know, I started praying for her husband, and so many people started praying for him, and he recovered. But I never even called her, you know. So he is speaking all the time. Are we listening? What are we doing with what we're hearing? And sometimes it's just great to say, God, is that you? Like little Samuel did, you know, Eli told him, go back and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so sometimes he does that. Sometimes he gives, like I said a minute ago, pictures. But another picture I got one time, I love to wash dishes because God always speaks to me in my kitchen sink. And so sometimes I go there when I feel like I need a fresh word. I'll be like, well, let me do the dishes and see what happens. You know, and so usually I'm doing the dishes and I'm kind of like, anything happening, nothing's happening. And then sometimes he'll say something. And, you know, sometimes I don't hear and I wonder, he must be speaking. It's probably my fault. So anyway, one day I was there and I was washing dishes and all of a sudden I saw this big hand, a picture of a big hand, take a sponge and hold it up under the tap. And the sponge, like, started soaking in the water, and then the water started dripping out of the sponge. And then all of a sudden, the water just started spewing out of the sponge. And I got this picture when I was praying for my pastor. And God said, pray for him, because what I do in him, I'll do in you. Mm-hmm. And I took that as a message that when we pray for our pastor, a lot of times sermons people are giving, they work out in their own lives first. And then they give it to the congregation. And so that was a beautiful picture, too. So now, all the time when I see a sponge, I think to pray with my pastor. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. But anyway, so those are some examples of, mm-hmm. of if you're listening. So here's good. Dave. Here's Dave's grid. He says, here are some questions you can ask if I'm hearing from God. So how am I doing on time? I have no idea. I'm at 35 minutes. Okay. Okay, so his grid is this. Is it biblical? Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that's contrary to God's word. So search the scriptures. If you get stuck, run it by somebody older in the Lord. People are thrilled to help you, and they want to help you. They want to pray with you, just like Margie and Elizabeth wanted to pray with me. God's never going to ask you to do something that goes against the value of another person. If it inflicts damage on someone, it's probably not from God. So if you go to somebody and you give them an angry rebuke, it's probably not from God. But if you go to them and say, hey, you know, when you said this, it just hurt me, and I don't know, can we just try to work this out? That's God's kindness leads us to repentance, not his wrath or anger. Number three, God will never ask you to do something outside of biblical authority, and there's a proper sense. So, for example, a child will never say to a child, go and try to usurp your parents' authority and just do what you want. That's an extreme example. But number four, it's always in line with his character. He won't contradict who he is. If it distorts God in the eyes of other people, it's not God speaking to you. Number five, does it glorify God and lead other people to him? All the way around, it matters. He won't ask you to do something or say something that will cause people to fall away from him. So you're not walking outside the law of love ever. The sixth thing is, does it bear witness to you and others? That means, can you stand before God and inside say to yourself, there's a sense of a yes, an amen, a peace, you know, a settledness. Do you get a sense of courage or great hope that you're teaming up with God on something? And, you know, even when I was going to work for my church, it was really kind of funny because I was leaving my design practice, and this was kind of like a 2-year process where Mark Batterson started talking to me, and, you know, it just never materialized. And toward the end of it, I don't want to say it got ugly, because it wasn't ugly, it just got weird. He was telling me one thing, and the human resources was telling me another thing, nobody was on the same page, and I just thought, I'm just not going to do this. This is nuts, you know, this is crazy. And everybody in my inner circle was telling me, do not do this job. And one person that is a mentor to me said, why would you not do this job? This is your dream job. This is amazing. Like, they wrote this for you. This is incredible. Go do this job. And I was like, whoa, what do I do with the fact that everybody over here is saying, don't do this, and this one person is saying, do it? And so what I did was I went to Mark Batterson, and I said, my inner circle is saying this, and my mentor is saying that. And we worked out all the details. I shared all the concerns. I verbalized instead of internalizing. And we got on the same page. And even the first week I walked in the door there, the enemy was still trying to say to me, this isn't the place for you. You shouldn't be here. You should do your design business. Don't do this. And so I kind of had it out with the enemy. And I was like, no, I'm going to battle with you. And then I prayed a prayer. And I said, Lord, I commit this to your will and your way. If this is right, give me total peace. 3 days later, I walked into the office after my weekend off, and it was literally like the whole thing fell away. And so sometimes the enemy is coming between you and what God is telling you, and you really have to like take the extra effort to decide, is this God? You know, because were all my inner circle wrong? No, they weren't. They had really valid concerns. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I went to him and I said, these are the concerns. So anyway, that's it. The last one is triple confirmation. Does it align with Scripture? Does the Holy Spirit bear witness? Do people walking closely with you say amen? So don't make this so hard. You're hearing from him more than you know. Allow him to speak if he chooses through Scripture, peace, other people. If you feel lost, go to somebody who can help you. And then Dave's final thought is in the section is on prophecy. And he basically says that, you know, we should eagerly desire prophecy. So prophecy is like an encouraging word. So Paul says, I wish that all of you would prophesy. And the simplest way I can explain it to you in closing is like when Holly Leachman says, put a crown on your kid's head and watch him grow into it. I always look at my son and I say, you're a mighty man of God. And he says, no, I'm not. I did these 7 things. And I'm like, yeah, but when you prayed for me last week when my head was hurting and it went away, that's a mighty man of God. And he's like, yeah. So Romans 4 said, God is the God that calls things that are not as though they were. And so we too can do that for the people around us. So I hope that helps you a little bit. And yeah, shall we just close?
Yes.
Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you that you want to speak to us. Thank you that you are the king of the universe, that you hold the stars in the sky and the sun doesn't fall out of the universe and the water doesn't come off the bottom of the earth. And you hold everything in your hand. And yet you have thousands, millions of thoughts for us. And they outnumber the sand on the seashore. Lord, we pray that you give us spiritual ears to hear, that you would open the eyes of our heart to your word and to your revelation, that you speak through your scripture. And Lord, we just pray that we would be people of your presence who just long to be with you and long to hear from you, because your word says, in Christ are hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, Lord, be with us now as we go on a treasure hunt through your word. looking for how you're speaking to us. And we offer it all up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.